Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Face the sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, thought up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Of the unashamed. Say it out loud. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? I am not ashamed. Why? Because it is the power of God to salvation. And it's there for absolutely everyone. Absolutely everyone. Well, we're going to start each one of our church services with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and today we worked real hard to get one of our active duty troops to be able to lead us, but it doesn't look like we got it connected all the way. But how many know that's okay? Just stick with it. We're going to be able to make it happen and be able to connect these guys, and it'll be a good thing. Amen? Here we go. Turn to the flag, and let's make the Pledge of Allegiance like we always do. How many know that We don't put the flag above our God. Amen? We don't put the flag above God. But this nation was created one nation under God, and therefore making the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, because it's a very, very important part of what God's doing in the whole world. Are we ready? Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You can give a shout. I can tell you want to clap or shout or something. That's fine. Go ahead. We always begin our service with prayer, so let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are gathered together in your house, Lord, gathered together all over the nation and around the world right now today. We are here for one purpose, and that is for our lives to be blessed and strengthened and instructed by the Spirit of Almighty God. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you set this time up where the brothers and sisters of our God and Father get together, for the ambassadors of the cross to come and get the next instruction, for the soldiers of the Lord to get together and be strengthened to go out and do service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're here, Lord. We choose to lift up your name and declare that you are Lord of Lords. And Lord, all we know all over America and around the world, in this 24-hour period that we call Sunday, there will be billions of people in church every day, every one of these, every hour of this day. And we will be lifting up your name as the Lord of our lives. And we do it again right now. We add our voices, Lord, to those in America who say that our God has not forsaken this land. And no matter who's going astray in its leadership, we will not bow or bend to the world, the flesh, or the devil. And we stand and declare that this nation is a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And as many people have prayed all through history, send us deliverance, Lord, from those who pervert the justice that our this great nation is known for. We bless our men and women serving all over the world right now. They're in harm's way. They're here on our homeland soil, and they're defending our freedom, and they're defending the Constitution, which makes us great. We declare in the name of Jesus life and health and strength to them, to their families, to their units, and great courage and boldness, we pray. For those that are serving in harm's way, may they have the greatest excellence of any of the troops that are deployed. Those, Lord, that are there on the cutting edge against evil, we declare blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Almighty God. We bless their families at home right now, Lord. They're missing their loved ones. Today they're not with them. They went to church or whatever they're doing without their loved one there. And we declare in Jesus' name great strength for those that are at home. We pray for those that have lost a loved one. We know, Lord, the Scripture teaches us there's no greater love than a man would lay down his life for a friend. We thank you for that love, Lord. We thank you for that compassion that they have for others. And now we declare for those who are left behind that blessed are they that mourn, for Jesus said, you shall be comforted. And we ask for that comfort. And then, Lord, we pray for those who have been in harm's way and today are dealing with the mental battle that's going on in their mind right now. I declare in the mind of anyone battling with post-traumatic stress, peace, be still, mind. I declare by the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus that there is victory, there is strength, there is help for you by the blood of Jesus. I declare anyone listening to the sound of my voice will learn to use the weapon, the blood of Jesus, and purge their conscience from these things in their mind. And they will live and have great victory in strength. Lord, I pray for everyone that's in our midst today that are battling with healing, and they need healing and health and strength in their bodies. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. I declare, Lord, for those that need financial breakthrough, finances come to these who need the blessing of God in their lives. Lord, those that have a family situation, a child that needs more strength from you to come back, those that have loved ones that have walked away and they're believing for them back, we declare it. Prodigals, return to the house of God. We say this in your mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give this ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the strength you give to everyone who's with us and stands with us every day and every time we come together. We declare, Lord, that there's great victory, there's great peace, there's great strength, and the ability to see what you've given us to do. And then, Lord, for those that are joining us on the air today, I declare blessing in their life. Wherever they are, bring together the partners and those people that you want to be a part of this great work you've given us to do. And for what you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Now pray this prayer with me, everyone. Lord, thank you for the blood that gives me access to pray to you. Thank you for this body of Christ that I'm a part of. Bless this body. Help us do everything you've given us to do with great simplicity, with great courage, and with great excellence. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, and amen. Somebody give the Lord a big shout if you want to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did he ever show up, guys? On the studio? No? All right. If you're listening, glad you're there with us. We can't seem to see you, but if you are there and you want to say something, then click the one, and that lets us know that you're out there in radio land. All right, let's make our confession like we do every time we get together. How many know this confession is working? This confession is working. I had some big stuff happen this week that's right here out of this confession. Can't say anything about it yet, but I'm going to bring it to you. And when I do, make sure you shout glory. How many excited when God does good things with us? Amen? Is it all right if God gives us a voice all over the whole world? It's okay, isn't it? Listen, if you haven't learned this about me now, I ain't chasing no voice anywhere, right? But anywhere God wants to put our voice, let's go there with the voice. Can I get an amen from you? We're not the kind of ministry that goes out running down everything that looks like it could have a voice. We're the kind that says, Lord, where do you want us? And when he sends us there, then we stand boldly and declare, God Almighty is here. Say it, God Almighty is here. Man, I could preach right now for about 3 hours. Can you, if you get on there, can you like use your cell phone, Aaron, and just stretch this show so it lasts about 8 hours or something? Here we go. You ready? We call on you, O God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory. Keep your hand with us, that we will stay away from evil, so that we will not cause pain. We receive it done in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, look upon your enemy's threats and grant to us, your servants, to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy Son, Jesus. I declare that all words that are being spoken against the ministry of Jesus Christ that we have been given stewardship for are null and have no effect. We declare that your enemies are confounded, and we say this in Jesus' name. As a believer, I am an ambassador of the cross. I fight a good warfare. My faith is increased every time I hear the word. I walk by faith and not by sight. I am quick to purge my conscience of dead words and works. I always trust in the Lord, and I lean on His understanding. The eyes of my heart are enlightened, and I know what is the hope of His calling. I have my senses trained to discern good and evil. I am a mature Christian, and I can handle solid food along with the milk of the Word. I am an imitator of God. Therefore, I walk in love. I implement all of the armor of God. Therefore, I resist evil and stand firm every day. As a Christian, my greatest weapon is the Word of God spoken in faith. I wield this weapon accurately. I know that the power of life and death is in my tongue, and I am eating the fruit of it. We declare that in the time of trouble, we the faithful will receive a double portion, and all those around us will know that we are the offspring of the Lord. I declare that all of RPN's members and their ministries are doing well. They are financial partners with MBM, new pastors join, and all members communicate effectively in Jesus' name. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe His prophet, and you will prosper. With the power vested in me by the Lord Jesus, as an ambassador of the cross and a child of the King, serving as a minister of reconciliation, I publicly loose the opportunity to earn money and have employment over my family, over this area, and over our entire state. I declare the understanding of the principles of tithing and the laws of seed time and harvest are functioning effectively in the ministry of Jesus Christ in the state of Michigan. In the name of Jesus, we declare that large contractors and small businesses come together in unity to create financial strength in all of Michigan. We declare Exodus 12:13, "And the blood shall be a sign to you upon the houses where you are." Governor Rick Snyder, our House of Representatives, the Senate, the Judicial Committees, and all other elected leaders for our state. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you as a destruction." In Jesus' name, grace to Lansing. God's grace to Lansing. I declare people come from the north, south, east, and west. People focused on this vision. People determined to walk with God. People whose faith is contagious. People who live in the fear of the Lord. People who want to be servants, servants ready to serve. They come to the house of the Lord. We declare like Solomon over our ministry, lives, and businesses that there is more than enough to do all that must be done. More than enough silver, more than enough gold, more than enough skilled workers, 100 new adult replenishment troops come now according to the word of God in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen and amen. Somebody give the Lord a big shout. Hallelujah. Let's receive our communion elements at this time. Those of you who are at home, we want to remind you to have your communion elements ready so you can receive communion with us. We believe that the same Spirit, say it with me, the same Spirit that is with us here today will be with you at home, and the same power and strength of the communion elements that we are receiving here, God is going to make happen for you wherever you are. Those of our troops that are deployed and you're in harm's way, I know you may not have grape juice. You might only have Gatorade. Jesus turned the water into wine, didn't he? He can turn the Gatorade into wine. And if all you got's a Cheez-It, that'll work. Right? The idea is not in the exact kind of grape juice or the exact kind of bread, folks. The idea is in that we release faith from our heart in the work that Jesus did. Say it with me. It's his work working in my life, activated by my faith, provided by his grace. Do you deserve grace? No. Somebody say, I don't deserve it. When I was a sinner. See, I receive it as a child of God. Can I get an amen from you? Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, here we are. Once again, gathered together as your family. Beautiful people here with us. And Lord, people all over the world gathering with us. And we thank you that no matter where today someone lifted a cup and took a piece of bread, you have honored the faith of every person on the face of this earth who's come to you today. And we believe, Lord, that that's probably a billion people in this day we call Sunday. What an amazing thing. What an amazing God you are. The same blood you spilled at Calvary is still working for us today. Your broken body then is working today as we access it by faith through grace, and we give you glory for it. Receive our prayer of faith now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. I thank you for your blood that washes me, and your body that was broken, that empowers me. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. Spirit, soul, and body. Mind, will, and emotion, nothing missing, nothing broken, every joint supplying, in my body, in this body, in the body of Christ, within our stewardship, and right here in this community, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. We know, Jesus, that the Word of God teaches us that you are that living bread that was sent down from heaven. You're the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We receive it from you, Lord. And now we lift up a cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. We don't know how you do it, Lord. But we know that it is done. That your blood is working for us right now. And when we access this by faith, our lives change forever. And we give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, pray this prayer with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. By the blood of Jesus, I have access to the throne room of God, where I find grace to help in my time of need. By the blood of Jesus, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, I purge my conscience and make my robes white, so that I will be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. When you come for me, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the juice together. And let's sing. Remember, here at our church, we don't have boring worship services. We clap our hands.
can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Rise against me, but I will hold my
are winning, and then you may be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. All of you that are home, we want to welcome you that are with us, wherever you may be, around the whole world. I pray in Jesus' name that our troops are with us and are able to be with us and enjoy the ministry of Jesus Christ that we bring here. And if we could see you that are listening at home, we would say, we love you, God loves you, and you are winning. Everybody just point up here at one of these monitors and just say it to the radio people. I love you, God loves you, and you are winning. In Jesus' name. Well, you may be seated. Have a seat there, if you would. Don't you love coming to God's house? I'll tell you, of all people in the world that I love God's people. How about you? If you say it, I love God's people. Hey, some of God's people are weird. Have you ever noticed that? Anybody ever noticed that God's people have a tendency to be weird? Well, the Apostle Peter said that you are a peculiar people. Say peculiar. That doesn't mean that you're strange. Say it. Not strange, but different. Right. Say, I'm different. I admit to being different, but I'm not strange. I'm the one that's got it together. Amen? Somebody that doesn't know Jesus yet, they still got to deal with sickness, disease, sin, loneliness, fear, pain. They don't have no way to combat that, man. Why would we ever duck our head to anybody? We have the answer. Somebody shouted, I have the answer. I have the answer. Of course I'm going to act confident. That's not arrogant, that's confident. Last week we found out we had a person in our service that was 7 years old. Remember that, Zacchaeus' message? He was seven. And we got our brother back here, Abraham. He's with us again today. Been saved for 60 years. Huh? And he's not sad about it. He's not sad that he's been saved for 60 years. He's actually kind of excited about it. Aren't you, brother? Amen. Amen. Won't be long. We'll be running around the church. Listen. People like, well, I don't know. I don't understand Christians this way. Well, I don't know if I want anybody to know I'm a Christian. You've got all the answers, man. I tell people like, well, don't tell them you know me if you're going to act like that. No, why? Our God is bold. Isn't he bold? Have you noticed that about Jesus? He was bold, man. He stirred up the religious and set free the bound. Say it, bold. Bold, 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 bold. And that's what I like to be. And I had a troop tell me this week, he said, man, I really like that message on Zacchaeus. I'm like, really? He said, yeah, it was right down where I could understand it. You were preaching right to me. Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Some of you need to get that. Quit acting like you're some kind of religious spirit in here. Amen. All right, I love everybody. How many glad you're here today? Are you glad? I'm glad. Who knows what time it is? It's offering time. Amen. It's time to give to the Lord. And here in our church, during offering time, we always grab an offering verse. So go there with me. We haven't been there in a while. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. There we go. Everybody at home, we're glad you're there. I can see we got quite a few listeners with us today. What an amazing thing that we can preach our gospel right here in our building and it'll go around the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. This whole chapter is about Paul talking about preparing an offering. And let's read verse 1. It is superfluous. I like that word.
How many like that word? Say it with me. Superfluous. It is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians. Say it. I want God boasting about me. Verse 6. Now of this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Say it, that's me. Let each one do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Shout it, that's me, Lord. Verse 9, as it is written, he's scattered abroad. He gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed for the sower, bread for your eating, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, increase the fruits of your righteousness. You will be enriched for everything, for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God, for the ministry of this service is not fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Somebody shout glory. That verse says God is able to make all grace abound to you in all things. Say it, all things. Would that be the light bill? Somebody say all things. How about the gas bill? Huh? How about needing a new car? Anybody need a new car, a new vehicle? Some people do, some people don't. If that's what you need, God said he's going to cause you to abound in all things. How about this? How about in healing? In your body. How many need? You might not need anything financial. You might need healing in your body. We've got vets that are listening to us. You might be battling that battle with post-traumatic stress. Listen, God has promised to give you all things that you may abound to every good work. Can I get an amen? The Bible says in the book of Peter that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. The more you know him, the more life and the more godliness is coming to you. Well, Pastor, what's that got to do with the offering? This verse says, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. What is it that we sow? Our time, our talent, our treasure, and a seed of financial seed sown in faith. How many ever found it's easiest to give money? Sometimes giving your hour of your time, that's not as easy. It's easy just to give a dollar, 10, 20, 50. Some people it's easy to give 100. Somebody shout hallelujah for that one. Amen. I like that story they tell about Young E Cho when he started over there in Korea. Guy came and talked to him and said, Dr. Cho, how many millionaires you got in your church right now? He said, I have 100. Say it, 100 millionaires. Boy, that's something, isn't it? I don't think there's a church in America that would cry about that one, would it? You know what the next question was? How many of them did you have when you started? And he said, zero. We all became millionaires by our faith and our service to Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah for that. Well, Pastor, don't you know what economic condition is? You ever seen the economic condition slow down anything in God? No. No. Just slows down our brain if we let it. But we make a confession here that says, in this time of trouble, we, the faithful, will receive a double portion. And when we do, everyone around us will know that we're the children of Almighty God. Why? Because we're blessed even in an economic downturn time. Can I get an amen from anybody out there? Thank you, Lord, for your help in our lives. Well, this verse says if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully, and that's what this offering's all about. Why do we have an offering, Pastor? Well, some people bring their tithe in. Tithe is your 10% of what God's given you in your life, of your daily work that you do, in your job, your business, your vocation, and you bring it, you present here in the basket. We present it to the Lord, and we make a profession, and Jesus is the high priest of that profession, and on we go with God's blessing in our life. And this verse says, whenever God challenges you to sow, when you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. I love this about God. I know I say it all the time, but there's sometimes when you come in here that God tells you to sow bountifully. He might tell you to give a $100 bill, right? But the next time you come in, it might only be a 20, but that's still bountiful. Say it. Bountiful is not about the dollar. Say it out loud. Bountiful is not about the dollar. It's about obedience, right? The woman with the widow's mite, Jesus said, gave more than the man who filled the bucket with his coins. Because she was giving of her need. He was giving a tip from his abundance. Amen? So in your life, whatever God gives you to give, give. For those of you that are at home by the radio, if you want to sow financially into our ministry, we'll be glad to receive it, and we'll put that money right into the ministry to help us preach the gospel right here in West Branch and around the world, wherever he sends us. And he sends us in a lot of different places. Wherever he sends us, we'll preach that gospel. And we'll be glad to be a part. If this is where you're getting your sustenance, your spiritual strength every week, you are more than welcome to tithe here. That's fine. We'll help you get connected to a local church. That's what you need. But if we're your local church at this point, then let's all praise God together. Amen? And let's gain the spiritual strength that God's wanting us to have from each other. In Jesus' name. Stand together with me. Stand together. If you're at home and you want to give, the folks here will bring it up and put it in the basket. Our address is P.O. Box 622, West Branch, two words, West Branch, Michigan, 48661. P.O. Box 622, West Branch, Michigan, 48661. Put that in care of New Creation, and we'll be blessed, and so will the Lord, and you will be too. You ready? Hold your offering items up. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bless these who give, wherever they're given. According to Genesis chapter 1, you told us to be fruitful, multiply, subdue this earth, take dominion, and replenish it. For 7,000 years of recorded history, man has been doing that. And here we are, Lord, your sons and daughters, right now doing that very same thing on this earth right here in West Branch. And now, Lord, according to the scriptures, I present these tithes and offerings to you. And we declare in the name of Jesus that their lives are blessed by the things of God, and that victory and strength is theirs, that health and healing is theirs, that financial abundance is theirs. And whatever it is, Lord, that they're believing you for, I thank you that it comes to them now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Say this with me. This is your money, Lord. I am tithing. And let's say it together. This is your money, Lord. I am tithing and giving an offering as a good steward. I sow this as a seed into the gospel ministry right here in West Branch and around the world, wherever you send us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give to the Lord and enjoy this offering, awesome offering song.
Been through the fire, been through the flood, down in the stuck in the mud. Had to look up just to see the bottom. It looked for storage, but I ain't gonna give up. Ain't gonna give up on God. No, no, no. Been busted and bruised. Battered and torn, walked through the desert, weary and worn. I've had me some biscuits without any gravy, but in every situation, the hand of God said, so I ain't gonna.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. All right. We're glad that you're with us. Thank you for the offering and being a part of that and helping us do what we do. Say it with me. 17 years of God helping us do the work. Are you going to use that, hon? Yeah? Yeah, we'll use this too. All right, let's give you a few announcements because we want to make sure we always do this. Don't forget, men, we have men's breakfast happening every first Saturday of every month. We're having a good time up there, aren't we, guys? The women said yes. Let's try the men. Let's see. All of you men growl once. Ah, all right, you ready? There you go. All right. We're having a good time up there, aren't we, men? I speak to the men and the ladies talk. Oh, my Lord, help us. One man said that the men are the headlines and the women are the fine print of a newspaper article. Has anybody ever noticed that? That a woman has more to say than a man. Never paid attention to that in my whole life. Amen. One man said that man has about, how many words a minute? Does he speak a day? What was it? 7,000 words a day a man will speak. How many of you men think that might be a little high? And then a woman will speak somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 words a day. And some people, that causes them marriage problems. When you realize that's just the case, then everybody's fine by the situation, right? She talks, nod and smile and say yes. Wait, men, and listen to her. Huh? All the women said? And regardless of whether or not you ever watched Bill Cosby and he said, huh? That doesn't work, all right? There comes a point where you have to admit that you finally heard what she said. But you're glad we can have fun in God's house. Anyways, we want you to join us, men, on the first Saturday of the month at Ponderosa, 8 a.m. here in West Branch, if you're anywhere close. It is always a good time. And we get to eat a lot of pork. Are there any bacon lovers besides me? Say thank God for bacon. I love bacon, man. I don't know who started that whole deal on the Facebook about bacon, but I love all the pictures that come on bacon. I mean, bacon-wrapped ice cream. Come on. I mean, doesn't that sound delicious? Anyways. And so, thank you for connecting up with that. But now, the ladies had a really good time at the women's conference this week. And they're wanting to share some things from that today. And I've got a really good message to preach. So what should we do? Well, I didn't let all the people on the radio know that the women were going to talk because, of course, I'm the pastor and I'm talking. My beautiful wife said, we're not going to talk, we're just going to communicate. They're not going to preach, they're just going to give us communication. But I think it's a wonderful idea. We'd like to hear from our ladies. Now, I say this every single time, and I'll say it again today. And those of you by radio, stick with us, because this is always fun. And then I'll be back and give you some of my verses, and I'll still give you the outline of what God's given us here. No personal stories. Hello? I know that this ministered to you, but we don't want to hear the depth of your soul and pain about how God ministered to you. Tell us the principle of what he said. Can I get an amen on it? Because we don't need the parts of your heart put in front of God, in front of man, that needs to just be between you and God. I always say that because some people, when they get up there, feel like they got to start sharing their soul. This is not the place to share your soul. We don't preach from our soul. We preach from our spirit. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen? And so, I'm not sure who's starting here, ladies. Here's a microphone. Here's a microphone. I think my beautiful daughter, Jess, is going to start.
No, I'm just getting the mic.
All right, Len's starting. Here we go. The Lord sent us Len all the way from...
No. Give these ladies a fine hand clap.
You made a mistake.
Jackie. No stories.
No stories.
Okay. Well, first of all, God is good. That's what I'm going to say right off the bat. He's good. Yes, all the time, Brother Phil. Not today, not yesterday, all the time. I enjoyed the service. I'm just going to tell you a little bit just what the speaking was about. She talked about this ministry that she has. She works with wayward girls or girls that don't have a home. They're either in the court system or whatever, and they take them in and they help these girls. Well, what I got from it is, I mean, it's very empowering. She had told us in her journey of where she started to where the Lord took her in helping this home. And a story, one gal, but I'm not going into that. Pastor said we can't. But anyway, I still got something that's very powerful. Look for what is my job and give God what is his job. I have a job. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I have a job. I never looked at it that way before. I have a job as long as I'm on this earth, and I'm empowered with that job to be that woman, not only in actions, but what I say. There's scripture that says, be decent and in order, and I pray daily for that because, and I just got so much from the Holy Spirit this weekend. He is so good to this person standing in front of you, and I have a story. Everybody's on a journey. I'm on a journey. But my job is to be that woman he'd have me be in my home, the grocery store, pastor says it many times, to be that witness in line, wherever you go, shake a military person's hand and say, thank you for serving our country. We have a great pastor and a great pastor's wife and family, and I'm fortunate to be here. And I love the Lord, and here's Miss Jessie. Oh, no, I guess we're... kind of goofing up a little bit. Today it's Miss Lynn.
Thank you. Pastor, can I ask a favor? Can you give me an hour? Yes.
There's no hours allowed today. Just give us the condensed version of Lynn.
No. That is asking a favor, okay? So it's about favor and connection with God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'm going to mix what I'm going to share about Thursday night, Mrs. Barclay's message and Miss Nancy's message. Okay. First of all, I will give an example. When I was still working in Manila, I have a co-worker, and she said to us and brag about it that her father is a friend of the owner of our company where I work. And so what happened is she's always out of her working area. She go to her friends in a different department. She take a break for a long time. She go to the store. So, and our bosses doesn't do anything about it. And kind of like they know that we call it, she has a backer, or we call it, she's untouchable. So, for us, we have more than a backer. So, she has a connection. We have a connection from God.
Amen.
So, as being a Christian, if we have a relationship with God, just like what I said, we have a connection, a spiritual connection and a favor. These two elements go together. We cannot receive or have favor without connection from God. And we cannot have connection and, okay, wait a minute. And have a connection and doesn't receive favor from God. So it goes together. Connection doesn't mean that after receiving the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then stop right there. And then you are go back to your old ways, doesn't do anything, doesn't grow. So it means that we don't continue to live according to His will. So continuity meaning it is uninterrupted connection. Amen. Like a telephone, when we call a friend, we have a connection. And you connect, if you cannot connect to the other line, then we cannot talk to our friends or someone, and the line is disconnected. Guess what? We won't be able. Okay. For example, hey, hello, Lord, hello. The Lord did not answer. We don't have a connection. We lose the connection. So we need to stay in the Word of the Lord. So that we stay connected to our God. There are times that we ask God a favor and did not receive it. You know, we think, oh, okay, I know it is right, Lord. I know it is good. I know there's nothing wrong with what I've asked from you. But, you know, at times, why you did not answer me? But God knows what is good and best for us. The Lord, the word of the Lord says in Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. Amen. Willing and obedient go together. Willing to be transformed. Willing to change. Because God's hands are not short that he cannot transform us and set free those who are in trouble. God is not into treatment. He is into transformation. Amen. Our job is to confess our sins, and God's job is to forgive. Amen. We've got born again. We have a new bloodline. We have a new DNA. And unbeliever would say, what? You know, kind of like they make it literally. We are anointed. Wherever we are, whatever we do, the Lord wants us to be bold woman or person of God. Amen. And glory to God. And about the women's conference, and the guest speaker, Miss Nancy Alcorn, shared about young girls that were abused and molested, how God led her to this kind of ministry by building home for them and to help those young girls rehabilitate them and giving them education. While I was washing dishes, I watch Wilson. Actually, it's a different show there in the local channel, the Delta Broadcasting. So I look at the title. So it's Wilson Forum. There were young teenagers, candidates from different countries. They discuss about trafficking, such as sex trafficking, drug trafficking. One of the guests said that there are organizations to help rehabilitate those girls. One of the girls asked in the audience, one of the candidates from different country, and she asked a question. She said, it is because the economic problem of a country that these things happened. One of the guests answered the question. She said that it's not only because of economic problem, it's also because of different calamities, natural disasters that happen, so that there are sex trafficking, drug trafficking. The truth is, there is only one root problem. It is the work of the enemy, which the unbeliever don't know about it, the devil. Amen. But the Lord Jesus' last word says in John 19:30, it is finished, period. The thief, which is the devil, is only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. Glory to God. They're so obedient. Are we will eat the best. We will have the best. We will live the best. And He will go for us. These are favor, having a connection with God. Glory to the Lord.
Amen. Well, I didn't get to go all weekend, but my mom and I got to run down this morning for the morning session. And Nancy was, I guess, in a rare form. It was a lot of fun. I laughed a lot. She reminded me of my mother-in-law. She's from Tennessee and the whole thing. But she shared a lot about her ministry at Mercy, and I was very familiar with it, but it was good to remember what they're doing for young women, because the government, I mean, they don't have Jesus, so they're not doing it. And there's so many women that can't even get into the program because they're full all the time. But they help women with eating disorders, women that cut themselves, women that have been abused, that have done drug overdoses, attempted suicide, that are teenage pregnancies. They help them decide, they help them come to Jesus, and then they help them to hear God's voice on whether they should be a mother or whether they should adopt the baby out. And then if they choose to adopt, they help them get a good family. So they offer so many services, and it was wonderful to hear how God has blessed them, and they have 4 homes in America. Is that right?
Yeah, 4
homes. And then one in Canada, Australia, United Kingdom, and there was another place that I can't remember. So it's just phenomenal what they're doing for young women. And this morning she talked about the goodness of God and that God is a turnaround God. And that's really the story of all these young women that come through Mercy Ministries. And He totally transforms their lives and turns them around and gives them a hope and a future and helps them to see their purpose in life and to go do that. And isn't that true what He's done for us? He's helped us to do that in our own lives. She said a few key statements that were very powerful. We need to be a show the goodness of God kind of person, not a speak the goodness of God kind of person. We need to walk a life that lives that people can eat the fruit of our tree and taste the goodness of God and get set free in our own lives, where we can help people do that. Live the life of showing people the goodness of God. She shared a couple stories of young women that came to their breaking point, and it was powerful. One of the young ladies was a pastor's daughter of a very well-known man in our country. And he was this great person at church, but then would go home and physically abused his wife and his daughter. And she watched him strangle her mother with a telephone cord. And a week later, he killed himself. And she said, you know, the thing is, I believe that man loved Jesus, but he had problems in his heart that he didn't deal with. And obviously, it flowed over into his own family. And the statement she made was, you have to deal with your own issues in your life, or those issues will come back and they will deal with you. And I thought, wow, that's so powerful. Whether your issue is great or small, that is so true. And you can't effectively walk in your divine calling or whatever God has given you to do if you have not confronted those things in your life. Luckily, or not luckily, but through the grace of God, that young lady found Mercy Ministries, and she got pregnant and whatnot, so she was able to give the baby up, and she got free. She got off of drugs, and she's now married and has a wonderful family, and everything's going great for her. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. So that was a great turnaround story, because our God is a turnaround God. Amen?
Amen.
But the thing that stuck with me a lot the most this morning, that my revelation was in Matthew chapter 7, if you guys want to turn there. Pretty well-known set of scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to go to verse number 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. And most people just kind of stop there and they don't finish the context. Jesus doesn't want us to judge other people into condemnation. He doesn't want us to think that we have the ability to damn someone to hell. We don't. That's the Father's position to say right and wrong. You know what I mean? That's his job. It's not our job. But we got to keep reading. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you. Okay? So, right, that's along the same thoughts. Verse 3. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You, a hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So many times we don't read that all the way out. Jesus wasn't saying not to notice that somebody has a speck in their eye. He was saying, free yourself. Help yourself so that you can help someone else. You can't effectively help God, or you can't effectively help someone have God in their life if you haven't freed yourself. You might think you are, but if you've got this other issue that's blinding you, you're not seeing it through the eyes of God. You're not seeing it through his vision and how he wants to help that person. But if we live a conscious life and stay in the word and prayer and asking God, you know, what's the verse? Living out our salvation with fear and trembling, then we can effectively help someone when we see the log and the mote in their eye. And we can effectively help them find the answer like we find the answer. So Jesus, that blew me away. I was like, so many times that scripture is used against Christians. The Bible says don't judge, doesn't it? You're a hypocrite if you judge me. Don't judge me. And that's not, we should never judge anyone and by pointing a finger and or making fun. We should never do that. Jesus is saying, when you see it, if you have freed yourself from that, help that person find that way out. And that was powerful. It went right along with what she does with Mercy Ministries, and it made me put things into perspective in my life with, you know, helping people. So I thought that was a really powerful, powerful thing to take away from. Amen. That our God is a good God. The goodness of God is what leads people to repentance. Amen. Not a pointing finger. Hey, I walked through this myself. Let me help you. I've done this. I've been there. It's not fun. Let's get out of this, you know, let me help you, let me love you through it, et cetera. So I thought that was a really good set of scriptures. She said this, hypocrisy blinds us from God's way and what he sees and what he says about the situation and that person. And we're only hypocrites if we're not doing that, if we're not walking out our salvation with fear and trembling and seeing that speck in our eye and dealing with it and pointing a finger because we don't want to deal with it. We've got to man up. Say, this is the issue, and I'm going to get free from it, and I'm going to help other people and love them and give them the goodness of God that's been given to me. Amen? So that was what I got today.
Now my beautiful wife.
Good morning.
My beautiful wife, another good hand. She deserves one for putting up with me.
Thank you.
As
God is good.
Said, I did pretty good. I said I was wise enough to marry up.
That's only because I could clean out the barn. No.
Anyway. That's another day.
Yes. All right. Well, when Mrs. Barkley was talking, she talked about in 2 Kings about the Shunammite woman. And she gave me insight to that I had never noticed before. And everybody knows the story of the Shunammite woman, you know, the lady who asked her husband, can we build the house? Or a room onto our house, and because I sense that this is a man of God, and so he did, or he had it built, and then you know, the prophet asked, is there anything I can do for you? And she said no, but then the man of God's helper, well, she's childless and her husband's old, so maybe she needs a child. So of course the prophet prophesied that a year from now you'll be holding a little boy, and that came true. But then when the boy was, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old, he died. And she laid him in the bed and closed the door, and she went to go get the man of God. And the only reason why she felt she could go to the man of God's house and say, listen, I told you back then not to lie to me. And you gave me this kid, and now he's gone. So you do whatever you have to do to bring that kid back. And that's the end of the story that I've always heard or remembered. And, of course, the man of God came back, and through a series of three applications, the little boy came back to life. But there's more to the story, because four chapters later, in chapter 8, the man of God came to the Shunammite woman and said, hey, listen, God has told me to tell you there's a famine coming, and you need to get your family out of here. You need to sojourn in another country. And I thought to myself, because I've always heard that preached just from the perspective of the little boy. You know, do we have a relationship good enough with God that we can go to him in a time of trouble? Well, yes, we do. But you know what? The sinner comes to God in a time of trouble too.
Yes, ma'am.
So I understand there's got to be a certain level of relationship there. But I do believe there would have to be a much deeper level of relationship with God for God to come tell you to listen, there's something coming, and I need to give you a heads up on that. There has to be relationship there for that to happen. Not just a sinner coming to God, but there must be a deep relationship. And it goes past the relationship with the pastor. In fact, you can't effectively have relationship with your pastor on a pastor and sheep relationship if you don't first have relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? And so that really ministered to me, that there's another level there. I want Jesus to be able to come to me and give me a heads up on things to come. Amen?
Yes.
You know, say, hey, you need to go make this statement to this person, because when you do that, that's going to open this door. Or make this statement over here, because when you do that, that's going to keep that person from stumbling. It's not all about me and what he's going to keep me from or open up for me. It's what I can do to help somebody else. God didn't come here just for me. He came here for all mankind. And when I get saved, he wants me to help bring others to him. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to be willing and obedient. And I don't know about y'all, but I know when I think of that woman going to her husband to have the house built, I just pictured that she built it. But all she did was go to her husband to see if they could build. It doesn't say she picked up the hammer and nails.
Wow.
He's a wealthy man. I'm pretty sure a wealthy man's wife didn't build the room.
Wow.
And sometimes that's all God is asking us to do, is can we go intercede? He doesn't want us to necessarily go build something big. You know, I mean, cool Nancy Alcorn, you know, but look at everything she's had to go through to do that. But, you know, not all of us, but some people think that, well, if I'm not going to do anything big, I'm just not going to do anything at all. But God sometimes just wants us to go ask, because that will open the door for many, many great things. Amen? Amen.
And for any man who would ever say, does a woman know how to be short, they just did. Well, let's give the women another good round of applause. That was awesome, wasn't it? That was awesome. You guys, you know, I don't know of too many other churches where this happens like this, where you... people go away and come back and we talk, but it's something that we do here. And I like it because it gives you the ability to vocalize, put words to what you received. And it helps it get that much more cemented in your life. And ladies, no matter where you are, Mrs. B has a women's conference every year, almost every year. It's always in the spring like this. And if you can get a chance to be there, it's always a great time, very liberating. For the women, very transforming and very focused on just women. It's not a women's meeting for men, although all of us men are glad when they're glad that they get to go, and glad when they come back and eat at McDonald's while they're gone. Yeah, I mean, come on, you know, somewhere. But I'm glad, you know, what a thought that the widow is not the one that built the room. That's very good. Her husband was rich. Her husband was rich. And the rest of that story about when she came back after the famine was over, she came back and everything that was once hers was given back to her. Say it. God restores it all. Man, if you get it, if you get serious with God, he's going to get serious with you. And God will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten in your life. And that's a wonderful delivering truth about our God. Now, that verse was actually in my notes for today, is that he restores the years. So here's what I want you to do to get some notes here. I don't have time to preach my whole message. So I'm going to just give you some highlights here, and then I'll probably preach it on Wednesday night. However, I'm a servant. How many know you got to be a servant? Amen. And we let God do what he wants to do. I'll come prepared. I've actually got in this message 4,000 words written out here that I could say. How many know that's a lot of words? That's my daily limit in one message. 10 pages of notes here for this message. But that's just the scriptures written out, and that's what we got to do. Amen. So write this reference down and this sermon title down. How long will you wait for God? Say that statement. How long will I wait for God in my life? How many ever had to notice that you've had to wait for God at times? The story that I'm going to give you is out of Luke 24. So write that reference down. But think about the story when Daniel was praying for an answer and the angel didn't get through for 21 days. How many of you would think that Daniel had all the power he needed to get something done in God? He was a powerful man of God. He took on Nebuchadnezzar and all of the people of Babylon and won and became one of the wisest men, the most trusted men in the nation while Israel was in bondage to them. And yet when Daniel needed the angel to get to him, it took 21 days. And when the angel arrived, he said, I have been opposed and kept from arriving for 21 days. How long are you willing to wait for the promise of God? I don't like, how many of you don't like waiting? I don't like waiting. How many don't like to get behind somebody driving slow? You know, it's obvious that they're waiting for the ant to cross the road or something. I don't know. You know? I used to think, well, that's here on this earth, but if I got an airplane or a helicopter, I could get up above the traffic. But what do you think's up in the air now today that we live in? Traffic. Say, there's traffic up there. There's traffic. You still got to, you know, deal with all that. I don't like to wait. But if you look at Luke 24, at the beginning is when Jesus rose from the dead. Say it. He's alive. He is not on the cross. You might wear the necklace with a picture of Jesus on the cross, but he ain't on the cross, folks. He has risen again and ascended, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for you and me. Can I get an amen for anyone? As a matter of fact, I need to say this right now by the Holy Spirit. No matter what condition you find yourself in spiritually, Jesus is interceding for you right now. Say it. Jesus is interceding for me. The whole thing changed. I'll preach the other message Wednesday night. Are you ready? I'm just going to be on this for the rest of the time. It again. Jesus is interceding for me. I'm so confident I walk away from the computer. This is awesome. I haven't been down here lately. It's good to have you back, Pastor. Now, think about this. Have you ever been condemned in your Christian life? Huh? Wait. For something that you really did do. Not somebody else's fault. not somebody's stupidity after you. You actually really did something that was wrong. You knew it was wrong. You couldn't seem to get out of it, whatever, but you felt condemned. Did the prodigal go away from his father? Yeah, he did, man. What a nut. The man was rich. He had it all. He was a son of a very rich man, and he went away, and he squandered everything he had and went and did his own thing. And then he came back. When he finally came to himself, he came back. Was in that story, is God done with him? No. He gave him a righteous robe. He gave him the ring, and he brought him a pair of sandals. And here you go. Restored. Say it. Sonship. He restored him. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from God. Come back. Can I get an amen from somebody? It doesn't matter if you feel good or bad about your Christian life. God loves you. Amen. There's only one sin that is not forgivable, and that's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And if you're listening to me today, you haven't committed it. Amen? Because if you committed that sin, you wouldn't want anything to do with God. You wouldn't be around people who want God. It's all done for you. That's all over. So that is not something. I don't care how many preachers with hellfire and brimstone preach that message in your life. Quit worrying about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You're not going to do it. Can I get an amen? That's a word for somebody that's listening to us right now. Let me say this to our men and women who are dealing with post-traumatic stress. You are warriors. You went and obeyed the commands of those commanding you. If you did good, amazing. If you did bad, there's still a God who loves you. Amen. I've not spoken to too many yet from our current wars on this issue, but I have spoken with many Vietnam vets on this issue, who said that their problem was not what happened to them in the war, it's what they did that was wrong when they were in Vietnam, and they've never been able to get away from the condemnation of that. Okay? How many of you would say with me that God forgives that? Somebody's listening to us right now. I don't know. I know this by the Holy Spirit. Everybody pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, regardless of what I've done, forgive me of that sin. Wash it with your blood. Make me white as snow. Fill me with your Spirit so I can serve you every day. Listen, folks, all the prodigal had to do was come to his senses and say, I've got to go home. I got to go home. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come home. Amen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So maybe the church offended you. Has anybody here ever been offended by the church or church people? My goodness sakes, that's one of the worst there is. Anybody hear the radio program on 105.5 this morning? Anybody hear it? It's pretty cool. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Mine, it came on at 10:30 and was like a bunch of... And then it went to a couple songs. And then we jumped right back to the radio, the preacher that's before me. And I'll tell you what, that man was preaching a message this morning. He preached all my notes. I'm sitting there listening to it and saying, how do he know what my notes were? John the Baptist was so confused in prison, he sent his men to say, are you Jesus? Did he not? Right? How many know? John baptized Jesus. And now he's saying, are you Jesus? I think the man's confused. What about you? But what did Jesus say? Jesus went back to him and said, he said, you tell John. He said to John's disciples, you tell John. What did he tell them? The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead live again, and Blessed is he who is not offended at me.
That was a very silent amen from people who were getting the truth.
Say it. Blessed is he, and that would be me, and I am not offended at thee. Goodness sakes alive, the toughest thing that's ever you're ever going to do is you're going to be offended at people who are supposed to take care of you. I am speaking to the troops today. I can tell. If the United States government is not taking care of you after you've served 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tours of whatever you've done in these two wars, do not be offended at them. Forgive and find a way to get what you need. Amen? Pastor, you say that. You never served. No, I didn't serve. I've never had to fight the VA like you are. But I can guarantee you, if you will contact me, I can help you find somebody that will help you get through. And the first person that's going to help you get through, his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because nobody can remove paperwork that he puts on somebody's death. Can I get amen from you? We're in a messed up situation, folks, because the government's not dealing with our men and women like they need to. They're not. I forget the figure. Somebody told me a figure the other day that right here in Michigan, they knew of like 10 or 15 women veterans homeless in the state of Michigan. It was horrible. My number's not accurate, but I was like, no. How do you guys even know this number? And it's because they've said to someone that I serve, but I can't deal with it. Folks, that's an atrocity happening in this nation while we give billions away to foreign countries that hate us. Amen. That's politics, and this is church. Everybody just slide that subject over. This is the church. This is who we are. This is what this ministry will help you do. We will help you get connected to God and in the process help you get connected to the help that you need. Say it. No matter what I've done, in any area of life, God will help me come back. And he forgives. And he forgives. Isn't that something? Luke 21, man, it's filled with it. Jesus rose from the dead. That's pretty cool. That'll freak you out. Right? Show up at the tomb and it's empty. And they should have been able to say that's what he said was going to happen, but, you know, they just watched him get killed and they didn't like that. And then he shows up to the two on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? They're walking along. Oh, bummed out. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm all bummed out. And Jesus walks up and begins to talk to them. You ready for the revelation? It doesn't matter how bummed out you are. If you want revelation, Jesus will walk up and talk to you. He rewards those who diligently seek after him. And you don't have to have a college degree to seek after our God. It's just simple. Every day, every minute of the day you think about it, look to heaven and say, Lord, I need your help. Reveal yourself to me so I can understand who you are. And he will do that, won't he? I'm telling you, I was an absolute religious mess. I was a religiosity mess. When I met Dr. Barclay, some would probably say I had a nervous breakdown. I wasn't very nervous, and I didn't break down. But I was a mess. I couldn't get a job, and when I did, I couldn't keep it. And we were in such horrible shape, we had to go home and live with my parents. I mean, think, that's pretty messed up. Here I am, an adult man. I've got a young daughter, and I'm married, and been married for 10 years or whatever, and I got to go home and live with my parents. That's where we were at. But when I met Dr. Barclay, and he said he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, I had enough sense to know the scripture said these kind only come out by prayer and fasting. I didn't know what I had. I just knew that there was an answer, that it's something's going to come out by prayer and fasting. So the one thing I didn't know how to do was pray and fast. I remember my mom said to me one day, "You are going to die if you don't eat." I said, "Well, then I'll go to heaven, but I'll go to heaven chasing after God Almighty." Amen? I'm not going to die bound by anything and confusion. I'm going to fast and pray, and God is going to show up in my life, and God showed up in my life. Amen?
Amen.
And it wasn't an easy road, but it's a road of victory. I don't look like I had a nervous breakdown, do I? Don't answer that the wrong way right now, okay? I might could be offended, and then I'll have to preach to myself. God will help you come back. God will help you break through. God will help you break through. God will help you break through. God will help you. And this is the answer. God, Jesus said to the disciples, all right, you got to wait. The promise of the Father's coming. You got to wait. It's 50 days. Huh? He said, get to the upper room and wait. They were assigned a specific place. They had to get to the upper room and wait. 50 days. One scholar believes that there was 500 when they started and 120 left when the Holy Spirit finally fell on them. A lot of people that once started in the upper room but didn't make it. There was 120 there on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came and filled the whole earth. And for all of you that don't know, he didn't fill the earth with tongues. He filled the earth with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Amen? He filled the earth with God Almighty so that no matter where you are on this earth, you can reach him. It doesn't matter where you are. Amen? Aren't you glad we don't all have to go to Jerusalem or Bethlehem to find Jesus in this day? We can find him wherever we are by just looking up and saying, I need you in my life. And he's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so they stayed and they tarried and he came. The Apostle Paul was born again on the road to Emmaus. Well, I don't know if he was born again there. He was knocked down on the ground and everybody around it saw it. That. And he heard the voice. They didn't know what it was, but they were all scared. And he got the scales. And then, how'd you like to be Brother Ananias? You just seeking God every day. Lord, I love you and I worship you. And what do you have for me to do today? And God says, Ananias, go see a man named Saul of Tarsus. Lord, he's killing us. What did I do? You know how you'd be. Why do I got to go minister to him, Lord? I don't want to. What did I do? I shouldn't die. And yet God empowered Ananias to go. Did I say that right? I think that's who his name was. Whatever it is. Read the book of Acts. And he went over there to Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord sent me here. Well, you know he felt better when he got in the room because he was blind. Well, if he's going to kill me, he's got to do it when he's blind, and I can probably dodge his, you know. He didn't know. And God said, I'm going to show him what I'm going to do with his life. Paul was transformed on the spot. The scales fell from his eyes, and he immediately knew, wait a minute, I'm killing Christians, and I'm one of them. I can't do that anymore. And folks, he began to preach immediately, and he began to argue in the synagogues, and he literally had to run for his life. And 17 years later, say it, 17 years. How long are you waiting for something good to happen in your life? Is it worth the wait? Is it worth the wait? Or are you going to get tired? Well, Pastor didn't let me go do that, so I'm just going to go sit down and pout. Quit being a pouter. Right? Say it. Don't pet a powder. Huh? So that was kind of weak. Try it again. Don't pet a powder. If somebody's pouting, what they got to do is stop. Everybody say it. Stop your pouting. Okay. Put your thumb up and pull it out. Stop your pouting. I don't care what you don't think has happened for you and it ought to have happened. It has not stopped the hand of God. It is just the hand of God. You can't imagine how many people have said to me, you guys' ministry is all done. You should just quit and leave. They judge us by us. How stupid is that? When I can see God working in every one of our lives sitting here. Look at it. You've been here, before. You're not a visitor. You're just part of us now. Blessing, too. Thank you, sir. But God's not stopped us. I mean, no, God's using us. Say, God's using us. He's using us big time. He's using us big time, and we're going to keep going and doing and being. And I don't care what you think about me, because God didn't tell you to tell me to come here. I was minding my own business, enjoying life in Lexington, Kentucky, when he said, go to West Branch. None of you were there except my wife, my daughter. And they didn't necessarily want to come. Leave beautiful Lexington, Kentucky to come to the frozen, chosen West Branch, Michigan. I had told God, I'll never come back here. I have a word for you. Don't tell God never. Because sometimes when you say never, he says forever. Some of you have said, I'll never preach. Just get ready. Get you a nice suit and a tie. Get a nice, good Bible, because the day's coming when it's going to happen to you, because you told him, no, not me, Lord. Here am I, Lord, but send Aaron. That's what Moses said. That's not a spirit to pick up on. Just as our sister said, you have a job for God in this day. He needs you. Go do it. Amen? All right. Are we still on, Andrew? How much time? How many? 50 seconds? Oh, man. All of those of you guys that are out there that are some of our troops that have fought in any of the war, Vietnam vets, clear through this current one, God wants you employed in his kingdom. You have a job that will transform the kingdom of God. You're warriors. Now you go find that place where you can be connected to a man of God that is really doing something in God. He wants to use you. You're the greatest asset the church has. And if you're not careful, you're going to wander around out here and never find your place. Don't let that happen to you. And if you can still hear me, I'm going to keep talking about that. Because I am telling you, I look at our troops, who are the most highly trained troops that the world has ever seen. And what do they come home to? Nothing. And what do we got to do? We've got to find a way to help them become what they can be in our local churches. They'll add so much strength to the local church because they're a